Underpowered Hour. On this week's show, we're joined by our field correspondent, James Drake, to talk all about the 20th anniversary SCAR event hosted by our good friends at the Texas Rover Club. And now, without further delay, here's the show. Welcome to the Underpowered Hour. I'm Steve Barris, mild-mannered television executive by day and Land Rover collector by night. You can find out more about our cars and what we're working on at thebarriscollection.com or follow us on Instagram at thebarriscollection. I'm joined, as always, by my good friend, Ike Goss.
Thank you to everyone joining us today. I own and operate Pangolin 4x4 in Springfield, Oregon, where we live and breathe Land Rovers. Check us out online on Facebook, Instagram, at Pangolin 4x4. Let's get started.
All right, Ike and James. James Drake joins us all the way from the Lone Star State of Texas, our special Texan correspondent for this week's recap of the big SCAR event down there in the great state of Texas. Ike and I have actually, you know, we've had a couple of Texas events here last year as we were there for obviously the big Defender Challenge and also the Destination Defender, which we did poorly at both. And so hopefully SCAR turned out much better. But James, welcome. Thanks for joining us. And thanks for being our man on the spot there at SCAR. Unfortunately, we couldn't make it down there this year, but we appreciate you hitting the trails and doing a little roving reporting for us.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you very much for having me. It was a great event and we'll get deeper into it. But yeah, Texas is a nice place for Land Rover owners. And there's quite a lot of us down here.
Yeah, all the gang, friends of the show, Texas Pete and the gang there. I'm sure much moonshine pickle juice was consumed. And
no comment. No comment on that.
It's still wearing off. Still wearing off. Moonshine pickle juice and paint remover. Texas Pete's special there. So it's good stuff, though. Jenna and I have developed a hopeless habit for that stuff. So yeah,
pretty. She's just got it hidden all over the house.
Yeah, it's pretty serious. It's a pretty serious thing. We're still dealing with it. The first step is admitting we have a problem, and we're not willing to admit that yet.
Still working.
Let's just take a brief moment to discuss James' qualifications for being an Underpowered Hour roving reporter. My understanding is that you're not only a longtime Land Rover owner, but that you have been around the world visiting all kinds of different.
Perhaps not a native Texan. I know this will come as a surprise.
It's a shock.
To listeners.
It's a
but
shock.
But maybe not originally from Texas.
Yeah. And my accent does usually give it away. Native to this Lone Star State, even though my heart is here at the moment. But yes, British.
I've heard the song.
Yeah, exactly. British. Born and bred is, you know, I lived on Dartmoor. I lived in the West Country. I lived where Land Rovers were king, and had an old friend actually that had a V8 and a lightweight, and he used to scare the bejesus out of me across the lanes of Dartmoor. And that's it. There, you know, that's where you fall in love. And then when I actually grew up and had a car of my own, I had an LR3. For my sins, and spent more money keeping it on the road than the payments. So got rid of that swiftly. But now on my second series, the first series never actually kind of hit the road. There's a story for another day about us lowering it onto chassis stands and the chassis stands just going straight through the chassis, which we've all been there. But yeah, on my second series two now, and ex-military I own from a lovely couple out west. And yeah, she came with me to SCAR. So yes, awesome. I a little bit of a history, not as much as the room I am sitting in. I will fully admit that, but it is running and it is taking up my garage. So, and it is a deep love.
I think that's some pretty significant qualifications. Possibly overqualified.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Overqualified.
More doesn't mean better or smarter, is for sure.
Madness somewhere.
It means the opposite. Yeah, exactly. It means maybe a brain injury at one point or another. That's for sure. Well, It's worth noting as well for those folks that are interested in seeing you, you had the opportunity to actually shoot some content, go and record some of that newfangled video, and that's going to be up on the old Underpowered Hour YouTube channel, so that if folks are interested in checking that out, seeing some of these incredible vehicles, because you did have an opportunity to chat with some people, to see some really interesting Land Rovers, that Liza is going to be hard at work over this weekend cobbling that together, and that'll be up on the Underpowered Hour YouTube, so folks can head on over there and check that out, and put some pictures to the stories that we're going to talk about here this afternoon. So
yeah, absolutely.
So let's kick it off. So where exactly does SCAR take place for those folks who in the rest of the country or the rest of the world, as you know, we have listeners all the way in the other side of the planet. So where does SCAR take place exactly?
Yeah, so SCAR is in the Barnwell Mountain kind of range, and it's at the Barnwell Mountain Recreational Area, which I'm going to say in a series is about 3.5 hours east of Dallas, in a normal car, 2 and a bit hours, and about 1,800 acres of off-road, purely off-road environment. It's quite dusty, but they've got miles and miles of track and trails, single track, dual track for ATVs and Land Rovers. And it is open every weekend. It's fully open to the public. And you have to have, obviously, a Texas overlanding permit available on site for $17. But it gets closed for the SCAR event. They have a few events and it's Land Rover only. You can obviously tow your vehicle with something a little bit more reliable, but you can go and take any kind of Land Rover you want. There were no Evoques and no Freelanders. Sorry, Steve. But
nobody's perfect.
Nobody's perfect. But it is. It does get closed, and they've got cabins and full service RV spots, and they have what they call primitive camping, which I like to call camping. and there's showers and stuff. So it's very family friendly and very friendly for people that are not outdoorsy. They just own a Land Rover, want to take, because there were defenders that I think were straight off a lot. Like they were.
Oh, right. Cool.
I'm still taking plastic off the dash and I'm going to go and scrape it along some trees.
That's awesome.
Which is awesome. So yeah, Barnwell Mountain Range, couple of hours east here of Dallas. Fantastic.
Somebody just got a loaner. They had their Range Rover in for service and they got the loaner and they're like,
why not? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Just reading about the Barnwell Mountains, 629 feet in elevation.
629 feet. Yeah. Mountains. Yeah. Serious mountains. Yeah. Serious mountains.
I don't even think, I don't even think technically that's a hill. That's a prominence.
But yeah. I can tell you, it's easy to stall a Series 2 Land Rover when you're kind of going up that kind of elevation.
Oof. Yeah.
It's Oof.
You don't actually have to be going up any elevation.
They stall on flat ground. They actually stall going down a hill, which is pretty remarkable. Yeah.
It's pretty true. But one of the big major sponsors, North Texas British, sponsor the event as their event sponsor, but that enables the club to close it to other people. So it is purely a private event at Barnwell. So, and they you can go and do the trails kind of self-led, but then they, for little novices like myself, have kind of different grades and different kind of organized runs, either night runs or 2 daytime runs. Friday, they had the Barbara Toy Run, which is...
Oh, cool. Yeah, of course. Right. Yes. We've talked about that in the past.
Yeah. So ladies only, which is fantastic. It's they go off, no men allowed. You know, they go off 15, I think, cars went off and did that and teams and stuff, which is very
cool.
Rebel Rally kind of S. They go off and do huge elevation changes in Barnwell.
That's awesome. Nice. That's super cool.
Yeah, it is actually. So yeah, North Texas British is a big sponsor and actually owned by the wonderful, may he rest in peace, the Alan Avery, who sadly passed recently. So there was a memorial run for him on Saturday, which is very cool. But there must have been, and I couldn't count them because there were too many, over 100 trucks on this memorial run just doing that, because he was such a big part of the club and event. And I only met him once, sadly, and I broke down. I've only ever broken down in my series 3 times. I broke down at his shop. And that's because it was such a hot day. But we did him on Saturday afternoon, and there was over 100 trucks lined up to go on this, with his truck leading it, which was...
Oh, that's really cool.
Which is very special. It was an old Range Rover Classic, so pretty cool.
That's super cool.
Yeah. So, but then there's obviously, it's a big family event, right? So they've got kids zones, face painting. You see the kind of kids are kind of riding in the back of Land Rovers, you know, painted as a tiger. And you're like, oh, no, not something you see every day. And they did t-shirt painting and a bunch of stuff. So it is really a family event overall. My family didn't come because I had to tow, and we didn't take the big RV. And
right. Yeah.
Primitive camping, as it said. Mm-hmm. But I just myself, which is absolutely lovely and fine, but it is a big family event. I came off one of the runs, and we were sitting there, and I was sitting, and then this co-driver must have been an early teenager on the right-hand side, fast asleep. We'd come off this run, and I am shaking from being shook around and sweating and stuff. And she, this young girl, asleep in the co-driver's seat, and I call it co-driver being a rally co-driver, but fast asleep. I was like, how? I'm jealous of the air conditioning, of that, but just craziness. But yeah, a great event. There's some great footage, a lot of lovely people. 160 trucks in total.
Wow.
Showed up.
Wow.
It's a good turnout.
Really big turnout. Nothing older than mine. I have a 64.
Okay.
I was the oldest. And as I mentioned, the newest was the
brand new Defenders.
Yeah. Everything in between. 350 registrants. Like,
wow.
People there. So it's big. It's a big,
it is a big event,
which makes meet people. So one of the things, so our friend, or your friend, and everybody, Jeffrey from Rovers Magazine, was...
Oh, of course.
He was doing a little MC before we kicked it off. And one of the things he spoke about was the history of SCAR, because it was their 20th anniversary. So they then had people stand up from the original SCAR, which was actually in the mid-90s. If you do your math, the 20th anniversary doesn't work for the mid-90s. But there were people from the first SCAR, which I thought was really nice as well. So
yeah. What does SCAR stand for?
I do.
It's an acronym.
It is an
right?
acronym. Yes, yeah, not just what you get from working on them.
That's right, from Land Rovers.
It is the South Central Area Rover Rally.
I see.
Where did South Central Area came from? The group of Land Rover dealerships in Texas and surrounding area is the South Central Area.
South Central Area.
And that's how they came up with it originally.
Oh, interesting. So is there
dealership involvement? Are the dealers come out? Do they have any presence there? Is there official Land Rovering happening?
Official Land Rovering? No, they're not there on site. There are some sponsors that do kind of, so Cowtown Rover over in Fort Worth. There's Austin Rover. There's a few dealers. Defender is officially a sponsor as well. So, which is
from like a Land Rover or JLR. Yeah. Okay. Oh, cool. And are there sort of vendor booths there? Folks with selling tchotchkes and things, or is it purely a sort of a member event kind of thing?
So there's no vendors, which I have a few I would have loved to have kind of taken and been able
Hocked
to
off to somebody. Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah. Don't we all? Yeah.
Yes. Or just given. I mean, take it out of my garage.
Yes, exactly. It's a storage issue at this point.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are you talking to my wife? Yeah.
Yeah, that's how you know. Exactly. Yeah.
But there is a huge raffle, and all of the sponsors do give to that, from gift certificates to items and stuff, and that creates obviously a lot of fun.
Should have donated that stuff to the ref.
Yeah. There you go.
Here's
one lucky winner could come
That's
home with a garage
full of garbage. I do the raffle here at the Southern California event, and we always do the black box raffle, and it's a Russian roulette, because you never know what we're going to put in there. In years past, it's been very good, and some years it's just a bunch of garbage. You know, you have to roll the dice. It's worth putting a ticket in there.
When the box is black because it's saturated with oil.
Exactly right. Yes, and maybe it's been in a fire. You never know. You never know. You just have to kind of, you got to roll the dice, you know?
Yeah. I've got a couple of, you know, here's a distributor. It may or may not work.
It may or may not work. I don't know.
You don't know. So
I have these four coils. One of them works.
Yes.
I don't remember which one it was.
Right. Coil roulette.
So is this your first scar event?
No. So I went last.
You've been before.
I went last year with no Land Rover. And
no Land. Oh, the Prius.
Not the Prius. Mm-hmm. It was a Focus.
How'd the Prius, how'd the Focus do on the trails? Sorry.
Oh, absolutely.
Better in the Land Rover?
Yeah. It's cooler. It's got air conditioning. So I have a Ford Focus, which is my daily driver.
Sure. Yeah.
And little low to the ground. Which I was actually trying to get to the campsite, which is at the furthest end. And I got to this kind of bump in the road and I went, nope. And I kind of backed it out and found a little cubby hole to camp in last year. But no, my Land Rover was up in Canada at Three Brothers Rovers up in Paris. And they would do a bunch of work with it because the plan was to drive it from Toronto down to Dallas. That was the plan. And actually work got in the way and I couldn't take driving from Dallas to Toronto.
It's an epic. It's an epic trip.
It is. It takes 2 days on highways. It takes about a week and a half in a Land Rover. So
if you're lucky, it could take up to 2 months depending on how things go, you know?
Yes. There were plans afoot that my wife would leave a couple of days later with the truck because we have a big truck that we moved to Texas, so we had the biggest truck we could find in Canada.
That's exactly what you do. Yeah, it's mandatory at the border. Yeah,
right. It's prerequisite for living there.
So she was going to leave to drive down behind me. So basically pick me up when I broke down.
That's right. Yes, we do the same thing. Yeah, we do the same thing. Yeah.
Exactly. But so last year I just went and while my truck was kind of being my Three Brothers and they did some wonderful work on it. And
they're good guys.
Then I went to come bring it down and we kind of, so this year, I actually then, the weeks up to SCAR, completely rebuilt the engine, as you do, you know.
Yeah.
So I redid the head and did everything to the truck, and she runs beautifully now, which is fantastic. Awesome. So, this was the first year driving her in anger and actually getting out there, taking her out on the trails. Till I got there, I had never put it into low range or four-wheel drive, because I had never had the chance. It just...
Right.
It does say in the manual, do not do it on tarmac. So I never did.
Be okay to just check it out, probably just test it out, make sure those levers work. But
I'm sure. But you know what? I threw it all in and I went and I took it off the trailer and I went, right, how do I do this? Yellow, red lever, clutch, down, go.
Yep.
And she didn't crumple underneath me, which is what I actually fully expected to happen.
The transfer case didn't stay as you started moving, which is good. That's always a good sign.
Front axle goes forward, the back axle goes forwards, and
you just go straight down.
I become like Fred Flintstone, and I'm just kind of there with my legs at the bottom trying to drive. Mm-hmm. But no, she came out. She worked absolutely perfectly. I saw my chiropractor on the Monday afterwards.
That's right. Yeah, no, absolutely.
I had booked it, so I knew it was off to start. And after all the trails, he's like, and he didn't know I had gone. And he's kind of looking at me and he's like, oh, you're actually pretty good this month.
Because it's pretty loose.
You're back in line and your neck's fine. It's a little, I'm like, that seems weird because it was completely opposite of normal. And
It's just, there's a looseness to it. You know, I often keep a small cooler. You know, as we do a lot of reconditioning of hardware and stuff here at the shop, right? So we just keep some tumbling media and bolts in a cooler just in the back of the trucks, and it saves on electricity. It's, just tumbles as we go, reconditioning bolts. It's we're multitasking.
Maybe your bones were just completely polished.
Completely polished, smooth. Smooth.
Yeah. Everything is working good.
It's real good.
Need some.
There's a joke in there about polishing a bone, but I'm not going to go down that route. So the trails were really well kept. They actually, Texas Rovers go early and have a work day. So they go and make sure that all the trails are really good. And it's part of the Barnwell kind of being a club and being a kind of club that go there regularly and getting to close it down, that there's some payback, obviously, to help condition it and make sure. Because a week before the event, there were torrential downpours.
Yeah,
absolute huge rain. And it was still dusty, but it was there were some big washouts and you've kind of got to be careful of that. But the club go and maintain and make sure it's pretty good. The trails were in tip-top condition. Couldn't have asked for anything more. And I took the beginner trails because, one, I'm a beginner, I fully admit. I graduated this weekend from owner to user of a Land Rover, which is good.
Fair. Yeah, sure.
I don't have locking diffs. I don't have no locking hubs. It's pretty freewheeling. I can press a throttle and I can press a clutch and a brake and somehow I have three legs and it just kind of works. Other than that, I was following one of the lucky eight guys in one of their built Defenders, which is beautiful. I am, yes, check mark. Yes, need to go buy one of those.
Very orange,
Yes, but, and I could watch the computers in the rear diff go click, 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 like it's going over rocks and it's kind of doing what it needs to do to stop a wheel turning, but then lock up and go and stuff. I just kind of imagine the, I don't know who was driving it, just pressing the throttle and then the throttle.
It's true.
And the cars doing everything, which is lovely. You know, your classic FM playing and the
push. That's right. Yes.
The 9.5 degrees and the cab. Lovely. And I am pouring sweat. I'm covered in dust. I'm trying to do three things at once.
That's right.
And and no power steering, right? You've got this.
Yep.
You've all driven them before.
Driving a bus.
Yep. Driving a bus. It can't do anything. And dusty. I've got every flap open. And I'm just going through. And all I can do is throttle, go. Right?
Yep.
Wind that low differential up. But essentially, it's the same thing. You are both there as a Land Rover owner and user, having the same amount of fun, same part of passion, same kind of love for this brand. And that was what, for me, what Scar was about. Passion of the love of this brand and the love of this type of life and watching other people and their passions in fully built classics to brand new Defenders or XMOD Series 2. So we're all the same. We all love it. And that was kind of the essence of the weekend, which was great. I'm actually looking forward to my next event, which is coming up in Ontario in a couple of months. But really cool event. Raffle was huge. Dinner was lovely.
Was it a barbecue dinner?
They did a Mexican type.
Of course. Yeah. Okay. Right. That makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense.
And it being Texas.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I shouldn't say Mexican. It was Tex-Mex.
Tex-Mex. Yeah. Of course. Yeah,
I'll get shot Tex-Mex. When I leave.
That's right. Yeah. Careful. Everyone has a gun. So careful.
Yes. Exactly.
If it's not in Mexico, it's a sparkling burrito.
It's a sparkling burrito. That's right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But actually, so Texas Rovers put on dinner. It is included in the event.
Nice.
Which is nice. Everybody, it brings everybody together for the raffle, dinner and stories and meeting the people that you've met and stuff and meeting new people. And they had this big kind of buffet with, you know, enchiladas and quesadillas and stuff and drink and loveliness. And then they have this raffle that goes on forever.
That is the problem with raffles.
Everyone's a winner.
Tickets
and tickets. I want a Defender bumper, not bit that goes over the...
Oh, the A-bar.
The A-bar that goes over the winch.
Yeah.
And it's, which is really nice to see, and everyone's laughs and jokes and it's good times. And then everybody socializes around the camp. Got a lovely s'more from a lady called Lisa who made the s'more for me. But it ended up being a wonderful event in the end and... found new people, new friends and stuff. But the trails are worth it. The camaraderie is worth every. And it's not just Texans. Oregon to Rhode Island.
Right.
Texas.
Oh, wow.
There were some people.
Yeah, it sounds like a wonderful turnout. Yeah.
So let's quickly talk about what can people expect from the YouTube content if they head on over there, and why not head on over to the YouTube, the old Underpower Hour YouTube. What were some of the interviews? Who did you talk to, and what rovers did you get an opportunity to see?
Yeah, so one of my trail leaders was in a Tomcat, Mike, and he took us around that. Best feature of that, built-in welder.
Cool. Yeah, for sure.
And I spoke to him about that. And I said, these are the kind of things you install that you never want to use.
Right. It's you're welding on the trail. That's all you're doing that day.
Not true. I like to weld people's doors when they're watching other drivers.
When they're not looking. Yeah, that's true.
Just a little tack.
Just to like, hold on, hold on. But then it's a Land Rover. It could be a million things that could be wrong with it. The lock's gone or...
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, Ike has to get out there and TIG weld your door shut, but it's beautiful. It's really nice. Yeah, it's expertly done. Really gorgeous.
Absolutely. Then you'll see a little bit around the Alan Avery run, mm-hmm. and you can actually get, because it's a very long line of Land Rovers, but you'll see everybody in there, and there's dogs, and there's kids, and there's people, and mm-hmm. you'll see
It's not Land Rovering without dogs. That's a key part.
Yes, they do. We do an interview with Mickey Slade, a dirt road adventure Land Rover, mm-hmm. very cool D2. Mm-hmm. And he said he was a cabinet maker or a shipbuilder or better with his hands than I am. He's completely customized the rear end and new bumpers that he built himself, but for a fully overland type mm-hmm. setup with solar charging and batteries and all cool. that. That was one thing that I have now spent the last kind of week Googling and looking at and realizing I'm going to spend too much money on a battery.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
because I need to charge my phone when I'm primitive camping.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, you need the solar array and the Starlink and the everything, you know. Yeah, exactly.
I have a friend who's just driven to the North Pole and
that
literally live communication from the North Pole on Starlink.
Which
is very, very, very cool.
They're super cool.
That's very cool. He's got built-in fridges, and I try and get some pictures of that. We do an interview with Christopher Pullen, talking a bit about Alan Avery and what he meant to the club. Mm. Also, some good pictures. There was one that's like a lightweight, but like a 110 length lightweight.
Cool.
Which is very cool. That's the white one. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a Greek.
Mm-hmm. It was.
Yep.
It's in this magazine that there you go. Know and love in there. But I just walk around and try and just see as many there as well, and too many to talk to everybody. Mm-hmm. But some of the really kind of cool and odd ones, I've got some interviews with, but hopefully we'll make the cut.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, Liz will be on it furiously this weekend. While James, as we come to an end, thank you, of course, for dedicating your SCAR trip to a little content creation for us. We and Welcome. The rest of the world appreciate this look into SCAR. And I just want to take a moment to thank the SCAR folks for 20 years of putting this event together. One day we're going to get down there and enjoy this event with everyone because, man, besides Jenna and I's hopeless addiction to the moonshine and pickle juice, it sounds like just a really super well done, super fun adventure down there. And it sounds like you had a heck of a time and so did everybody else.
Absolutely. Well, you'll be welcomed down there, as will everybody.
Excellent. All right. Well, this has been a fantastic little trip through the South Texas rovering community. And James, look forward to chatting with you again. We'll have to, like Al Franken style, just send you around the country to different events. We'll strap the Starlink to your head and you can give us live updates.
I want to hear all about the one in Ontario's Ottawa Valley Club up there that they're
doing. Look at him. He is the quickest Googler, I think,
constantly Googling.
That's the home territory of some of our other correspondents.
Dixon Kenner,
So that Google was here.
That was good knowledge.
Your recall.
I am going to the Ottawa Valley Overland Overnighter or Overlander or Landy Over something, event that they've got coming up in July, which... And if anybody's been in Ontario in July, it will be bug season. But I will absolutely 100% give a report and video and content from that. No problem at all.
That'd be wonderful.
Fantastic. Well, we'll catch up with you then. And you can check in on the Freelander floor mats that we installed in Dixon's 80-inch. Make sure those are looking great. And I know they've significantly improved the interior
and recently
of that 75-year-old car. Yeah, I think it was a real great upgrade we made there for Dixon at the Greek Peak event. Well, until then, James, stay well, and we'll talk to you in the future. And Ike, we'll see you next week.
All right. Thank you, James.
Thank you.
The Underpowered Hour is produced by Liza Barris, Ike Goss, and me, Steve Barris. Pavel Svartov composed and performed our theme music. Consider supporting the show on Patreon, and if you already do, thank you. Your support makes the show possible. For even more, check out our Instagram or Facebook.